JC2S, Part 2, Number 2B.
So we see ultimately it's only the language of truth what heals. Truth is the remedy, as I said. And through culturing then the language of truth in its purity and its gestalt and its wholeness through the ideas of truth, those ideas, as Mrs. Eddy will show then, heal sin, morally depraved conditions, heals first the mental, the spiritual. Those ideas heal the mental, and then they heal the physical. So she'll show that truth heals sin and sickness. Truth heals first mentally, ethically, morally, and then physically, because the spiritual controls the mental, which controls controls the physical. So with this language of spirit, it's really the only way the world will ever be able to grasp the science of God and the science of theology and the science of medicine. So tomorrow we will start our journey with this second part of the chapter together, as I said, in a workshop situation. But we aren't concerned. We're helping each other help ourselves to be the Son of God. And again, nobody will be put on the spot for a workshop situation. But certainly I know that we will all feel free to join in whenever we feel like we would like to in such a situation. I'll always lead the discussion through a Socratic method of question and answers. You needn't answer, but at least I will attempt to get answers from you. But as the week goes on, I know you will begin to participate, because it is, as I said, not a lecture. So as we begin then the week, I would like us tomorrow to bring the epitome book. That's the epitome book, a short term for Kapler's book on the epitomes for this chapter 6. Epitomes for the Spiritually Structured Interpretation of the Christian Science Textbook for the tape audience. Then we'd want to bring a study aid for the study of Christian Science by Max Kapler. And of course the textbook, Science and Health, and your colored pencils. All right, and paper. So we'll begin tomorrow. Yes, so we go on now this morning, and what we want to see is that as we progress step by step towards the issue of this week, theology and medicine, that there is a real healing benefit behind the theology section, and that is life itself. And we really will begin to gain by going through this section, as I said, always tonality building of the synonymous terms, and especially this sense of life. That life is the origin, life is our father. It is from that infinite well of life, the abundance of life, right out of isness, through that self-organizing, self-regulating law of divine science, spontaneously comes our identity and absolute Christian Science, which is always a discovery, which is always a step-by-step discovery according to the laws of divine causality, Christian Science. So as we begin to see that these are a hierarchy of laws, which really begin at the beginning, so to speak, in the only, where there is no beginning on the level of science itself, that law of being, that law of isness, it's out of the restructuring of isness comes something new. So it isn't that something has to be created. Everything already is created in being. That's what the eighth day says. You know, when we go to the first and second record of creation, there at Genesis 4 and Genesis 5, there seems to be a tonality of what we might consider the eighth day, where it says at Genesis 2, 4, these are the generations. And then goes on with 4 and 5 talking about how the seed was in the ground before it grew. So we saw yesterday that being is, that eighth day is. And because that eighth day has the tonality of the I am, that I am, that I am says I am throughout all creation, which looks like the becoming, or what we call evolution. But what we see then is that on that level of science itself are those laws of being, isness, however we want to say them. But it's because being in isness is constantly restructuring its differentiated whole. This isn't mysticism, because being has to do with a differentiated being. And the synonyms show that being is differentiated on the science level through that matrix of immortality, or that law of immortality, or that law, we could say, of infinity, where it's only the capitalized terms, only the synonymous terms, and infinite reflection. As we know that law on the science level, therefore those synonymous terms, those capitalized terms that present that law of being or isness on the science level, are constantly restructuring themselves. And it's out of that womb of infinity, or that matrix of infinity of the science level, comes every experience. All of our experiences are coming out of that womb, always new at life. And if we know then, we just in our consciousness know now the model of being, and we go over to the word on divine science, and we see, well, that that word is life on divine science, and that's our Father with a capital F. Father life, and that life is always providing for us out of science itself, always new, because the being is always restructuring itself on science itself, as I say. Then out of it comes life. The Father brings us out of that matrix of infinity, out of that womb of infinity, the new, which always come out through the laws of self-organization of divine science. Its life is out of itself, out of that origin, comes our new experience, and on the level of Absolute Christian Science, the worded Absolute Christian Science, that always comes forth spontaneously, life, as a fact, truth, and already fulfilled love. And then we know the worded Christian Science, which then shows that that comes forth as a discovery. We discover that isness through the ordered process of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That's where we see it's a difference between revelation and discovery, that that level of Christian Science then, as we see now, allows us to discover the what is. It's a discovery is a step-by-step process. So therefore, we can see and will see with this life tone that it will heal all past, present, and future beliefs that we were ever born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, or die out of matter. If we learn, as the textbook says, to reason from mind, as the only logical reasoning, we already learned last year at that mind tone, that she says, I learned these things anew from the standpoint of divine science. It set my thought to work in new channels. I came out from the new reasoning from the Infinite One, from mind, from spirit, from soul, from principle, from life, from truth, from love. My consciousness was born again, you see, from God. So we see then that our consciousness too is born again from God. And at this life tone, we see how our consciousness is always coming out from divine origin, from the origin which is on the level of science itself, from that matrix, from that womb of infinity comes our consciously new experiences. Because that is that one life bringing us always our new experiences, on divine science, that one life, the word of divine science says, that it cannot be divided. Divine science is the all in all. So therefore, that one life is the all life, which is the all in all, which can never be divided, and which has never lost sight of itself ever, ever, in our past, present, and future. And no, regardless if it looks like we were born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and die out of matter, we weren't. It's just a belief. And as Mrs. Eddy says, and we'll see, that it's a false belief that must be analyzed, uncovered, and destroyed. The belief wants to be denied, she says, in an article called Separation Between Truth and Error. Error wants to be just denied. It's just not real. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. But as we'll see, the Christ comes to analyze, uncover, and annihilate the belief that we ever lived in a time and space world. according to the material concept. We have only been in a state of isness, as we will see, and we are discovering what we always have been, which is the Son of God. Last week with the class one, we go over scientific obstetrics, which you know I'm hot on, always giving to those new young students to go over and over that tonality of the new birth, so consciousness can go out right away from the teacher mind and the student mind, just mind speaking to mind, or as David said, the Lord speaking to my Lord. So that right away obstetrics at the mind tone, where the teacher is the divine mind and the student is the divine mind, that one is taught to go out from mind, to reason from mind. But as one comes along in that paragraph, we see that what is being given birth through scientific obstetrics, she said, is already clad in white garment, where she talks about two births there. She says that our identity is already conceived and born of truth and love. It already exists as a fact and fulfilled. It's already in white garments. But to us, it looks like the beginning is meek. See, to us, it looks like a discovery. To us, it looks like it's the beginning is meek, the growth sturdy, and the maturity undecaying. But it's only a discovery of what's there. That's what we saw, that the meaning of science. That science is the discovery of new truths within the domain of being. So this is what life will show, therefore, that it's a discovery that we already are the sons of God. We already are in white garments. So always last week, I would, if the students wanted to reason again from matter and ask all these questions, where did evil come from? Where did sin come from? Where did disease come from? These are all wrong questions. They cannot be answered. According, as we know, to the new paradigm from the first record of creation. So whenever they wanted to reason from physical sense testimony, as the sixth chapter admonished us already in the mind, spirit, soul, principle tone, not to go out from sense testimony, she calls it, not to go out from sensual reasoning. That gives us a sensual philosophy and a sensual man, always reasoning from the senses to tell us what reality is. Because the senses only testify to mortal mind's false belief. Meaning we see what we believe, and then we believe what we see. It just goes on within this record of hypnotism, as we'll see. So what we see then is that we were not born in matter, and so I asked them, whenever they wanted to reason from this sensual reasoning, to see themselves in white garments. I said, even wear white garments to class, so that they would remind us to always reason from perfection, always reason from the standpoint of grace. So whenever we want to drag ourselves through the mud, thinking that, well, we had a rotten past, and I'm so ignorant, I'll never get the subject, and oh, the subject's so vast, we'll never get it. It's just when you touch one point, you just touch the infinite one. Well, that's true. But we're always to reason from the infinite one, never from the muddy garments. And when we reason from the infinite one, then we handle the beliefs of time and space, that we're ever born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and die out of matter. We handle the belief of time. And we see we never were. We always were in these white garments, and that's just what we're discovering. So this sense of theology and life, as we are working towards, we will see, handles this belief of time and space, something so important in this world today, when the world is rushing to where? You wonder, where in the world are everybody franny-franning, up, rush, 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 have breakfast, rush, rush, come home, you know, rush, rush again the next day, rushing to some kind of point omega, some strange attractor that, as the new physicists called it, or Dia de Jardin called it, point omega. That's thinking in linear time. That's our concept of infinite as a long extended line. But if we see that according to a holistic dimensional teleological science, of which the science of God is, as we saw last year, we no longer think in lines, but in circles, and circles that spiral. Therefore, it isn't a sense of time that begins and we're rushing towards a point omega quickly, so we finally are fulfilled in the promised land. We are at that point of fulfillment. Therefore, it's not from imperfection rushing to the seventh day of perfection, it is from perfection. And therefore, from perfection, it's always that which is coming out of isness is always coming at the point of the word of life to us, out of itself. And then on divine science, at the Christ being operates through itself, we know. And then as Christianity, divine science as itself. And then a science on divine science for the glory of itself, which just feeds itself back. So every experience that comes to us from our origin of divine science as out of itself is just processed through itself. So the outcome is as itself, always for the glory of itself. And every experience is a circle. And every experience just takes us a little higher and higher. So they now discuss infinity as input, process, output, feedback. As a point, 1, 2, 3, 4 becomes the 1, 2, 3, 4 becomes the 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how they explain the term infinite today. Never in lines in the new science, because the new science can't, because it's holistic. It thinks in wholes, not in linear thinking. It's non-linear. So to think dimensionally, non-linearly is not easy for us, but this is why we have the Christian Science textbook. It teaches us this holistic, dimensional, teleological structure, as we will see and continue to see. So it should heal us of the sense, well, we're here in class, and now will we get it all done this week? Well, we'll get it all done. We accomplished it in Whittier. We're able to go through the whole chapter. So if I take life easy today, we're not going to be too concerned, because we will finish theology and medicine. But I want to heal. I don't want to heal. So Christ will heal us of the sense that there's not enough time. We must rush. The subject's so vast, we'll never get it. That sense that just is not true. That we do know all there is to know, and we really do know so much more than we realize. But the problem is, we're not, all of us, including myself, we're not a mother enough. We don't tend to love the seed that is already within us. And as we love that seed within that is already there, it brings us forward. We're not having that father consciousness always that wants the new seed, that wants the new seed, that wants the new seed. What's new? What's new? What's new? It's that which has what it has, and then loves what it has and goes over what it has and ponders what it has and lets what it has bring forth the new. So therefore, I feel when we begin to feel frantic and we haven't enough synonym study or enough tonality to do the text analysis, I don't really feel that so true. I think we do, but I think we just begin to be a bit frustrated, always looking in a linear way to what's coming rather than to what we already have within consciousness. So I just want to then take the time to build up the subject today of this chapter 6, where it is within the place value of the matrix, build up the subject of the overall structure of the textbook, so we begin to again to hear where chapter 6 fits within that overall structure of the textbook. We want to love the textbook today, love it as the volume of truth. Love it, as we saw last evening, that it's going to give us science, what is reality, and consciousness, how I become one with that reality. So we too, at the 16th chapter, can say we are that city four square. We are the same divine infinite calculus that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John present that Jesus is, that dynamic model of being in its laws of interdependence in operation. So we do value, I know, and we talk together. We value the textbook. We love the textbook as a textbook, as a category in being, as truth's volume. It looks, as I said last evening, to be unique. I really seriously would question if there's any other book on earth that would take its place as a category in being, as the Bible seems to be also representing mind, spirit, soul, principle, life. The textbook, as we saw last evening, then is representing that tone of truth, consciousness, science, truth, the age of truth, and health, divine consciousness, healthy consciousness, also the age of truth, giving us then those two aspects of truth, science, and consciousness at work in the economy of being. So let's look then at the chapters of the textbook. Let's just want to love it. Let's just take what we know. Let's just love where that sixth chapter is in its place value as we're building towards the law of the sixth chapter, towards life, theology, truth, medicine. Now, if we look at the chapters itself, we see then that they all have basically then that overall tonality of the word Christ, Christianity, and science. Now, we know that there are actually 18 chapters in the textbook. 17, we know then would be, when we turn to our index in the textbook, we look and we say, oh my, we keep talking about 16, but there's glossary and there's fruitage. And we say, yes, there is, but that was added. And any time there is an appendix, then we know that that isn't within the body of the original text. So what really then constitutes the structure of the textbook would be then these 16 chapters. The underlying system we know within the chapter would be the system of being, just simply that divine system of reference there. That's the underlying system within all of the textbook. We know that now. We know it's the underlying system within the Bible. That whole system of what God is as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And what how God operates as the word Christ, Christianity, and science. And how God operates on the different levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. We know this, so we're now already have that seed within us. So we feel good about it. We mother that. We know that this is God. This is the way what God is. This is how God operates. And this is how God operates on different levels of consciousness. Now, this theme plays itself over and over again. This theme of what God is, how it operates on different levels, presents to us the subjects in the Bible, which are the subjects of the word Christ, Christianity. And the same constituents of being restructure us to bring to us the theme of the textbook, Christian Science. So as we go back then to the structure of the textbook, we in its simple form, we just look then at it and say, this is wonderful, therefore, that the overall structure of the textbook has that overall operation of the fourfold operation of being, of presenting that subject of Christian Science in a fourfold way. Presenting the subject of Christian Science, which always has its absolute aspect and its relative aspect. Hence, Christian Science is just as presented to us as absolute Christian Science and Christian Science in the textbook, those two aspects, but always with the overall tone behind it of divine science, that the origin of Christian Science and the science of Christian Science comes out of divine science. So, therefore, with this overall flow, we see then that the calculus that is behind the textbook, yes, that the one with the, just, no, the, yes, let's try the AING, Jay. We see then that the matrix of a textbook, as we have seen last year, and of course Max has so wonderfully given to us in the matrix subject in 1974, giving us the subject of matrix work in Christian Science. We see every matrix then is a rectangular array with two current indices, meaning that every matrix has its formula of an A subscript IJ. And therefore, the A always presents the subject of a matrix. The I always presents the, well, to us, it's the dominant theme. In the world use of matrices, the verticals often are not the dominant theme. The horizontals are. But John Dorley started presenting the matrix where the verticals were the dominant theme. And therefore, the I, the column, the vertical or column indices, index becomes the dominant tone, and in the textbook it becomes the dominant tone of absolute Christian Science, the verticals. And therefore the row index The horizontals become the sub-theme or Christian Science. So we see then that the A in the matrix, as I say, presents the subject of Christian Science. Christian Science has two aspects. So let's look now at the working of a matrix behind the textbook. Therefore, we see up in the farthest left-hand corner there for you that we have there an A, I, and J. Always in a matrix, if it's a matrix, it should be defined. So where the A is in a matrix, we would say, if we're working with the Christian Science textbook, we would then say and put there the subject Christian Science. We would put probably just CS. Instead of an A, we'd put CS. And then instead of the I, we would put ACS, Absolute Christian Science. The I's are going to carry Absolute Christian Science. And then instead of the J, we would put Christian Science, because the J's are going to carry the tonality of Christian Science. So therefore, as we come across in the matrix, we see then that at the word, as the word, that which to us appears is prayer. And the Word is the Christ, which is Atonement and Eucharist. And the Word is Christianity, which is marriage. And the Word of Science, which is Christian Science versus Spiritualism. All these first four chapters have the I tone of Absolute Christian Science. All of them have the I tone. Then the next four chapters under the Christ, the Christ tone, all of the I, the fifth chapter of Animal Magnetism Unmasked, the sixth chapter of Science, Theology, and Medicine, the seventh chapter of Physiology, and the eighth chapter of Footsteps of Truth, they also all have that I tone, you see, of Absolute Christian Science, the vertical tone of Absolute Christian Science, but from the standpoint of the Christ. Then the next four chapters all have the I tonality of Absolute Christian Science from the standpoint of Christianity. That would be the ninth chapter of Creation, the tenth chapter of Science of Being, the 11th chapter of Some Objections Answered, and the 12th chapter of Christian Science Practice. All have, as I just said, I, Absolute Christian Science, with the Christianity tone. Then we see in the last four chapters, they all have the I tonality of Absolute Christian Science from the science vertical tone. Those chapters then of Teaching Christian Science, chapter 14 and 15 of Recapitulation, 15 of Genesis, and 16 of the Apocalypse. So these chapters we see all have a sense in the vertical of the I or Absolute Christian Science. You hear that as the descent.